Good enough, I'll go along with that. Thus speaks an expert. Now, earlier in the week, it was reported that Windmill Lane Studios in Dublin have piles of tapes that they want to reunite with their owners, Spice Girls, Metallica, AC/DC, film music by the composer Michael Nyman, etc. Tony Perry is the producer in Windmill Lane. He's on the line now to let me know if there's any success, basically, in tracking down the owners. Tony, how you doing? Are you all right?
Hi, Dave. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Very good. Now, the response, has it been good? And who has reclaimed their tapes?
Well, the response, the appeal went out only a few days ago, and the response has been amazing. So far, people who have claimed quite a lot of tapes is, well, you two. Bill Whelan's office we're on, and we have loads of Riverdance tapes. So those Maltese are on their way back to them. Hey, Harvey. Ronan Hardiman with all of the Lord of the Dance multi-tracks and Feet of Flames multi-tracks. And Paul Brady. So great success so far.
All right, but what about stuff that you've recorded? Like, I mean, wasn't Van and lots of people in there for ages and maybe never even released the stuff? Is that stuff there? Could I buy it at a cheap price and sell it on O'Connell Bridge?
Well, first of all, it's not ours to sell. But yeah, Van was in Windmill Lane for about 4 years.
Yeah.
But he has all his own tapes. He actually had a special room built to keep his tapes at room temperature and all that. So he would... No, he would have all of his own recording.
As in, they can't disintegrate, but if you don't do it at room temperature and have a special room like Van, they do disintegrate.
Well, they will disintegrate anyway, as it turns out. Most tape formulations will just start disintegrating after about 10 years. And tape, as you know, is a kind of like a plastic binding with ferric oxide on top of it. That's what the audio signal is imprinted onto. And that metal basically, it starts to disintegrate and rust and decay after about 10 years.
Well, now I'm very interested in all of this, so just tell me something here. If I have a cassette from ages ago, okay, the very first U2 demo tape, if I play it now, it'll probably disintegrate, will it?
I'd be a bit concerned about it.
And what can I do to make it not? Because I want to make thousands of copies of it.
Well, do you know, there are specialist companies that will take that tape and they will bake it in an oven.
I can do that myself.
And then what will happen is that they will run that into a digital system, but they will probably only get one shot at it, Dave, because that that process itself will destroy the tape. So it allows you one run through, and fingers crossed, it all works out fine.
I feel a movie coming on. This is like a Mission Impossible.
I know. Well, actually, a television production company were on to us looking... just to talk to us about maybe a possible history of Windmill Lane, because I suppose it's so rich, you know.
Actually, funny thing is, I remember when there was this band from Dublin, they had a three-track song thing, and they came into this very programme to see what it would be, and then they released it. And I went to the release little party of it. It was myself, Ian Wilson, and about six other people, and it was you two at Windmill Lane. What about that tape of the first three songs?
They would have that. I've no doubt about that. You two would be obviously a hugely professional outfit, and they actually have their own archivist, Christine. So, you know, they would very much be on top.
That'd be a very cool gig. You're going through customs. Says, "What's your gig?" I'm U2's archivist. That'd be so cool.
Absolutely.
Anyway, okay, the owner of the tapes. Let's branch it out to everybody else. Who are we talking about here? I mentioned Spice Girls, Metallica and AC/DC. Is that for real? Is that they will be destroyed?
No, it's for real, and they've been in contact with us.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, yeah.
So who do we have? I haven't even had the chance to reply to everybody, but there was a phone call from the States, from England to say that some Metallica representation were on. Sony UK were on inquiring about AC/DC because Thunderstruck and the Razor's Edge parts of that album were recorded in Windmill Lane. So there's been inquiries from them as well. So, you know, this is going, you know, to a lot of film production companies and record companies around the world, it seems. So amazing response. Now, as to who owns a recording, well, if it's a young band, and they're not signed to a record label, whoever pays for the recording owns the tape. But if you're signed to a record company, they will own the tape because they paid for the recording rights. And that's their stake in the band as such.
Okay, but what if a record company either A, doesn't exist anymore, or B, couldn't give two hoots about the recording of the snot-filled roses or whatever it happens to be, and therefore this thing will just kind of sink off into the ether, or can the bass guitarist's mother get in touch and say, look, the record company doesn't exist, the record company doesn't want it, can I have it?
look, they could well have a claim, and we would sit down and talk to them about that. Ultimately, you know, each tape has its own little history and its own, I suppose, potential legality surrounding it, because, you know, it isn't just the tape itself, but the music on the tape, believe it or not, could be owned by a publishing company. Mm. You know, it's I suppose that the record industry was built on recording rights and publishing rights. And, you know, they can be a bit tricky for the person who's looking to claim any recording.
And what are you? What's the reason for this? Obviously, it's not getting paid anything. Obviously, you're not doing it necessarily to gain. But by the same token, are you trying to just gain some space? Is that it?
Yeah, you know, Pulse College, we set up Pulse College in 1990, and it's developed over the years, and we took over Winmill Lane about 4 years ago. And it's a digital multimedia college, as well as still having the recording facilities there. I mean, more recently, we would have recorded acts like Lady Gaga and The Script, you know. But do a lot of high-end digital training and multimedia training there. And the college is expanding. So, you know, these tapes, a two-inch multi-track reel is a sizable object, you know. Yeah. It weighs a ton, actually, because yeah, it's mostly metal. And we would have well over 1,000 square foot of space to storing these tapes. Technically, they don't belong to us, so we're obviously looking to get them back to the rightful owners. Now, when we first moved into that building, you know, we had contacted record companies and various different artists and all that, but you know, the type of response we got was, "Oh yeah, oh that's interesting," and then nothing happened again. Yeah. But then, so we decided, look, let's just go a bit more public on this and see what happens. And then there were a lot of phone calls. It's been hugely successful from that point of view.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the world we live in these days, because phone calls used to be phone calls and you talk to somebody and it was much more of an immediate thing, or else meeting somebody face to face. But the best thing about send me an email means send me an email so I can ignore it later, which is happening all the time. So, okay, so if they're not coming back, I presume you're not going out of your way to do anything necessarily. Like you're not going to put them onto a more listenable format, if you like, because, you know, not many people will have the correct player for them at this stage.
That's right. No, you know, to archive that, I mean, we did consider that, but to archive that stuff, it's a really specialist job, first and foremost, and it would be hugely expensive for us to do. And also, let's say that we were doing a transfer onto a digital system, and as is the nature of it, the tape gets destroyed through that process. We would be destroying technically someone else's property, and we might not get the result that we're looking for. It might not be a successful transfer. So we obviously have to be very mindful of that. We have to be very careful that we do mind other people's property well. And also we're aware that some of these are classic or seminal recordings, you know. So,
well, OK, but by the same token, if you wanted to start a huge big bonfire out in the middle of Windmill Lane, could you do that? Could you say, look, these are here, they're in the way, bang, into the fire, and then somebody comes back 3 years later, like Riverdance has been there, Lord of the Dance, Sony UK, etc. So, no, sorry, it's all burnt.
Yeah. Well, we're not Visigoths who are going to...
No, but I'm just wondering, would you be allowed to do that?
After maybe 20, 30 years and some of those tapes in the condition they are, you know, there would be no real practical use for those tapes, and it would be it wouldn't be a huge loss with some of the tapes.
But I suppose some of the bands were shite.
No, I mean, they're practically of no use from the point of view that they are compromised, you know, the quality would be compromised, but... You know, I suppose, like, we all grew up, you know, I'm 43 years old. I've been a recording engineer and producer most of my adult life. And we would, you know, be analog freaks. We'd have a real graph, this type of stuff. So that would never happen.
OK, well, then the unclaimed tapes, and I don't know what percentage might be unclaimed, but I'd say a good 30 to 35 to 40% probably. Would that be a rough guess?
Well, you know, yeah, maybe 20%.
OK, so what are you going to do with the unclaimed tapes?
Well, I suppose we will. We're going to sit down, see how many tapes we have left. If, you know, if there an obvious if there's an obvious path that we follow with this tape, we will then go proactive in the sense that we won't be waiting for people to come to us. We will start making phone calls. I mean, we would have contacts in the industry throughout Ireland and internationally with producers and record companies, and we will start actively trying to track down people. If that is partially unsuccessful, then we'll probably go to a plan B. Now, what that plan B is at the moment, we're not too sure, but we would be looking to dispose
but
of
is,
them.
Is there any format where the thing doesn't deteriorate? I mean, like, you know, you talk about deterioration, even in vans, musical, panic room, whatever it happens to be, they still deteriorate, right? So you say it goes like, is there anything you can have them in that it doesn't?
Digital. Believe it or not, digital.
Digital is the only thing. But, I mean, yeah, digital is no good for... when it was, unless you transfer, of course, to digital. Yeah.
You would have to transfer. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these, a lot of the major artists would have transferred. A long time ago, they would have transferred their multi-track tapes.
Whereas the cheaper, smelly little demo bands haven't a chance.
Well, you know, they still could. They still could, you know, but they would pay through the nose for you know, doing it under the archival conditions, you know,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right, indeed. Well, listen, good luck with it. It must be a very interesting, actually, project. Just say hello, the Spice Girls here. Hello, Metallica on the other line. No, it's AC/DC there.
It's fantastic. And also, you know, like when we first moved in there and looking through the tapes, we were gobsmacked, you know. We were just going, my God, look at this, you know. And obviously we're all music lovers. We're all, you know, we're all, you know, been immersed in this industry for most of our lives. And to see even a track sheet, you open up a tape and you see a track sheet for someone like AC/DC or Metallica, and you're going to me, that sends shivers down my spine, you know.
Right. Well, listen, I tell you, Tony Perry in Windmill Lane is the man to get in touch with. If you feel that you made that great demo tape all those years ago when you didn't have a pawn and you're not an accountant and you were in a band, just get in touch with him if you like.
And Dave, yeah. Could I do a quick shout out? The Whipping Boy. I was trying to get hold of Colm Hassis, who's the drummer in The Whipping Boy, and I couldn't. And The Whipping Boy have quite a few multi-tracks with us. I don't know, maybe about 10.
But just remember, they don't need nobody else. Oh, I had to throw that in. Fergal will help you out there, I'm sure. He's around. He can do that. Yeah. Okay, so a shout out for the drummer from Whipping Boy.
Or anyone from The Whipping Boy, or any representation. Because they're proving more difficult to get hold of than I thought they would.
Really? That's pretty weird. Yeah, I probably have a number in my phone. All right, listen, Tony, I'll see you later. And good man, and thank you very much indeed.
Thanks a million, Dave.
And good luck with it. All right, good luck. Bye. Take it easy. Bye. That is Tony Perry from Windmill Lane in Dublin. And if you want to get in touch, get in touch. You'll find the number there in the yellow pages or indeed on Google.